Hey friends, welcome back to the Journal Feed. My name is Nick Zelt, and this is the only place for you to get spoon-fed the latest and the greatest of emergency medicine. We've got recent articles appraised and concisely summarized for your benefit. If you are hearing this right now, then you are not currently a Journal Feed subscriber, and so you will not be receiving the full Journal Feed podcast, only getting a portion of the past week's articles. Don't worry, you still get good articles, but if you would like to get full access to both the podcast and the blog, then you'll have to become a member. All the details for that are at journalfeed.org. And remember, if money is a barrier for you, just reach out. We'll help you out. This is the audio version of our past week summaries, which this week were brought to you by our authors, Shannon Marcus, Vivian Lay, Aaron Lacey, Millie Kosse, and Clay Smith. All right, let's get into the first article, titled Antibiotics on Demand. Advances in asynchronous telemedicine call for increased antibiotic surveillance, out of the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases. Now, last week, we called for more digital medicine. Now, here we are, kind of, you know, to point out the dangers of it. Everything, it's a balance. We can't expect to have moved significantly to a very different form of practice without there being some hiccups. Much of our clinical impressions are based off those kind of subtle cues and physician gestalt. When you entirely change the medium through which we practice, you have to expect that there's going to be some changes. Something we just need to keep an eye on. Telemedicine, telehealth, it's not likely to go away. It's done a lot to improve access to some patients to care that wouldn't have otherwise had it, though some places seem to be providing treatments pretty well indiscriminately with very little oversight. This article is a brief chronicle of the author's experiences interacting with two telehealth platforms. The authors were experiencing viral URTI symptoms and decided to visit two asynchronous telehealth services, one of which was advertising the availability of antibiotics within minutes without even having to speak with a clinician. The visits cost the authors $65 and $40 US, and one of the sites advertised up to 500,000 visits per month. Over the course of three encounters, a superficial accounting of symptoms was obtained, and then antibiotics were offered almost immediately. The antibiotics could be chosen by the patient, or you could just allow the system to do it, with no or minimal discussion of side effects. Forgoing antibiotics wasn't even a treatment option. As well, there was no offer for follow-up after the prescription was made. Neither author filled the prescribed antibiotics, and guess what? Both fully recovered without incident, and without medication side effects, I should add. This is essentially antibiotics on demand. Already, even with trained physicians gatekeeping prescriptions in the past, we've had trouble with overprescribing. Now it would seem they are just being doled out indiscriminately to anyone who's willing to pay the entry fee. This makes me think of all the times that I've informed patients that they don't have anything direly wrong with them and may return home. How many times they've apologized for wasting my time is an incredible amount, but I've always thought that's crazy and I always reassure them, since the only way that they would have known that they don't have something serious is to have my medical training. And I'd rather my patients be way more sensitive than specific for their reasons to come to the hospital. Now we're bypassing medical training and letting people pick their own antibiotics. Forget about local biograms and resistance patterns, let alone the viral nature of most of these infections. I think there are certain places in which ease of care like this is probably warranted and the right thing to have. Our author Sharon points out, I think there are certain places in medicine where ease of access is probably the right thing to do. Our author Shannon points out things like recurrent UTIs, sure, just give them the antibiotics. And COVID tests, that's a great example as well. Education can often replace a prescription in cases like this. But that education can't be given if no one is actually communicating with the patient who came in expecting antibiotics, as they were promised within minutes, I quote. Regulation has a lot of catching up to do in this department, but it might take some serious complications to push that to actually happen, since unfortunately that's how the legal system usually works in North America. Sadly, we're not likely to see big problems all at once, to cause big lawsuits or anything like that. Just a lot of little cases of diarrhea and antibiotic resistance. It's going to be a slow creep to our eventual doom unless we actually do something about this. Though, as I understand it, and I've heard from friends, is that in Europe, it's long been pretty easy practice to get basic antibiotics at pretty much any pharmacy. I haven't fact-checked that, but if that is true, then maybe we're all just being a tad dramatic. In a spoonful, using online telemedicine platforms, the authors of this article found that it was appallingly easy to get an inappropriate antibiotic prescription for what is likely a viral URTI, after paying just a little bit of money. This highlights the need for increased education and regulations around inappropriate prescribing of antibiotics to safeguard everyone, as well as to uphold good medical practices. And then the second article titled Treatments for Cough and Common Cold in Children, out of the BMJ. Treatments for benign URTIs, the common cold. I can't count how many times I've been asked about what treatment can be offered for this poor parent's child who has a little bit of the sniffles. It's a relevant question when your child gets something like 10 URIs per year, and in the days of TikTok and immediate gratification, we expect solutions for everything. So the BMJ went ahead and summarized the, well, mostly lacking data we have on therapies for children under 12 years old with colds. The mainstay of treatment is really going to be analgesics and antipyretics, a little Tylenol and Advil. Of course, that won't actually treat the infection itself, but can improve discomfort and distress that's probably mostly going to be caused by a little bit of a sore throat and fevers, I would suspect. Though keeping in mind that fevers are not harmful, so there's no benefit to treating a fever in a comfortable child. Arguably, with fevers being a highly conserved response to infection across countless species, you might actually be doing very slight harm. Saline nasal rinses? Oh man, I just can't get on board with these. I think these get way more credit than they deserve. The data that we have on them isn't very good, but seems to show a very small and brief benefit in rhinorrhea and congestion, which is significant, but it's not a lot. I personally have never thought that that would justify being waterboarded, but that's just my opinion. If we were meant to put water up there, then I suspect we wouldn't call them airways for air. Anyways, antihistamines don't show any benefit either, and they definitely cause harms. You shouldn't use those routinely either. Antitussives just don't really do any good, and again, certainly cause harm. As annoyed as a parent might be by a cough, you'd just be better off leaving it alone. Honey seems to be the best thing that you can offer, and even that's not very good. And also never give honey to a child less than 1 year old. Steroids? Well, no evidence, but I can imagine they wouldn't be worth it either. Humidified air also hasn't really been evaluated. The authors also highlight that aspirin should not be given to young children, which is why we should stop calling them baby aspirins and switch to something more like cardiac aspirins. Anyway, no honey for those less than 12 months, like I said, and certainly don't give antibiotics. So, what can you do as their physician? What can you offer? Just like the last article, education. Expectations make a big difference and could prevent the next visit for another simple cold. 50% of colds last 10 days. About 10% of them go on to last 3 weeks. No treatment will shorten these durations. Young children experience 6 to 8 colds per year. If your child is an overachiever and gets all 8 at 3 weeks each, that's 24 weeks with a cold in just 1 year. That's half the year. So yes, it's going to feel like your child always has a cold. I will continue to offer nothing but education and reassurance for children with URTIs. Just let them suffer a bit. I know it sucks looking at them. They're coughing, they look sickly, they're gross, they're all snotty. But I think it's more us that suffers looking at them than them actually suffering. Just let it be. In a spoonful, clinicians have an important role to play in advising families on the appropriate evidence-based treatments for URTIs in children. That is, don't do anything. All right, that's it. That's all we've got from this week. Let's do a quick wrap-up. Just remember what we learned. From the first article, telehealth offers antibiotics on demand, and it even backs up that claim. Beware, this is something that we should not be supporting. I haven't feared that doctors will be replaced by artificial intelligence, but if we're willing to accept very, very below par replacements, then maybe we could be. From the second article, still no cures for the common cold, or even symptom relief, really. Just ride it out. Again, if you are hearing this right now, then you are not part of the members feed, so you missed three articles from this past week. What were those articles that you missed all about? One of them was choosing wisely for pediatrics. The next was about how the extremes of weight affect pediatric intubations. And lastly, new and better criteria for pediatric sepsis. Links to all the articles summarized can be found at journalfeed.org or just follow the links in the show notes. Our goal here is for you to read less, learn more, and save lives, one spoonful at a time. Thank you.